Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Earning, and today my guest is Dr. Brian McElroy, who has been a practicing general practice physician in Ireland for the last 8 years, and he's pretty close to becoming an Alexander Technique teacher. And we're going to talk today, and I guess I should say this podcast is primarily for Alexander Technique teachers and trainees. We're going to talk today about some advice for, when you're dealing with medical professionals trying to explain or promote the Alexander Technique. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. Really good to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. We've done a few other podcasts that are pretty interesting. So what do you think is the biggest mistake that Alexander teachers are likely to make if they are talking about the technique to their doctor?
I think the biggest mistake, I guess I'm not really answering your question directly, but I think the biggest mistake is that teachers don't talk to doctors enough about the technique. So what I'm going to be, I guess, suggesting in this podcast is that our tips to facilitate teachers to approach doctors directly with the view of trying to increase the number of referrals they get from doctors.
Okay, so you think, just to break in for a second, you think the main problem is that teachers are a little reluctant to bring up the technique with their doctor?
So I guess to paint a little picture, Robert, in terms of how doctors make decisions. So I guess we'll say for a person with lower back pain, for example, doctors will make decisions based on what they know and how much, whether they have read recently on a particular intervention for lower back pain, for example. So what they know is mainly going to come from the journals they read, or from the latest guidelines in terms of dealing with a specific topic. So for that reason alone, most doctors, unfortunately, will not know about the technique, because even though the Alexander Technique had a really good publication in the British Medical Journal 10 years ago, most doctors may not have read that, or if they did, it will probably have slipped their mind at this stage. So otherwise, in terms of other interventions, like as a GP, I would see, I would at least have offers of people who represent private hospitals, who perform private MRI scans. I would get letters from pain specialists, private pain specialists, and I typically don't meet with drug reps, but most GPs I do know meet a drug rep every week, and they get information, most up-to-date information on the most up-to-date drugs that are manufactured by that particular drug company. So I think first of all, most doctors don't know about the technique, and basically they're not getting any information about the technique at their doorstep. So from my point of view, I think it's a really good opportunity for Alexander Technique teachers, if we were to represent ourselves and try to arrange to meet with our GPs, our primary care physicians, on a one-to-one basis. But not just bring it up like on the side of your own consultation, but what I would be encouraging is perhaps to ring up your practice, ask to see your doctor for 10 minutes, for, we'll say, an appointment slot, with the view to presenting the Alexander Technique and the work that you do.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the doctor that my personal doctor is in a practice of, I think, about 10 doctors. So obviously the ideal would be to somehow manage to get all 10 of them in a meeting.
Yes, that would be ideal. So I guess from personal experience, 2 years or a year and a half ago or so, I set up a company and I was running inner ease workshops for GPs and health professionals. And during that time period, I sent hundreds of letters and hundreds of emails to lots and lots of doctors. And I pretty much nothing came of the letters or the emails, literally nothing at all. Like I didn't have any follow up from any of them. But I did visit about 6 to 7 practices. And from those, so I visited 6 to 7 practices, and basically that all began with a phone call to a practice to either meet a GP that I had some connection with, but sometimes just to, I phoned up the secretary and asked to speak with a doctor who might be interested in the work I'm doing, and I briefly explained the work I was doing. But from those visits, meeting doctors one-to-one, I then had the opportunity to present 1 to 2 hour workshops to the GPs in those practices. Another GP sent his nurse along to one of my workshops. I had another 30-minute educational meeting with another practice. So that initial 10-minute appointment can lead on to what you're speaking of, which would be the ideal of meeting all GPs or all doctors in a particular practice. So if you're very lucky, you may have the opportunity, like just from a phone call, to meet with the full host of doctors in a practice. But I think initially, realistically, it's more likely that you'll meet one, and then that one person will be the contact person for the other doctors, and then you might be able to present to all the doctors in the practice.
Right. So let's say that you are successful in arranging a meeting with a doctor or
yes.
a group of doctors. What are the, and there are obviously a lot of ways to talk about the Alexander technique. And I would imagine that the way you'd want to talk about the technique with doctors might be somewhat different than if you had a group of musicians or dancers or the general public.
And yeah, for sure.
And what would those differences be? What would that difference be, those differences, I guess?
So I've just written down 7 points here that people might want to bear in mind when they're visiting a doctor or presenting to doctors. So firstly, I'd introduce yourself. Tell him or her or the people who you are. What you do, that will be the second thing. So you practice Alexander technique, and maybe perhaps you do something else as well if you have another qualification. And then the third question that doctors want to know is what you are offering helpful, and to whom exactly would it be helpful to? Because obviously as doctors, we see a whole host of people. So you might have a particular cohort of people in mind. So it might be people with back pain, but it might be, you might have a long list of people that you might be seeking referrals from. As doctors, we will want to know if there is evidence for the Alexander technique. So if it is possible to learn a little bit about one or two of the main trials and present them in a graph or in handouts, then I think that would go down very well. So even if it was, we'll say, for the BMJ trial, if it was as simple as knowing that it was a randomized control trial, which is the best form of medical evidence,
right,
that involves 64 GP practices with over 500 people, and the results showed were very successful for the Alexander technique. So knowing a few very simple facts and being able to communicate them clearly would be really helpful from a doctor's point of view. And otherwise, then I think to kind of build on the evidence as a teacher, if you have specific case examples that you could illustrate quite clearly, that would be really helpful. So you could have case one, Mary O'Reilly, who presented with lower back pain for 3 years, had tried joint injections, acupuncture, and painkillers, and then presented to me. And then you could Laurel Podolsky, who presented at the Alexander Technique Congress, had a lovely term. She had something called diagnosis of use. So she would describe that the that Mary presented with her head pulled back and down, with an exaggerated lumbar curve, or whatever it is, the peculiarities of the use of that particular patient. And then you can write about the progress, or you can speak about the progress that you've made to date with that person. So having some specific cases, so you might say at the beginning Mary had pain almost every day, and it would stop her from doing her gardening or the things that she enjoyed doing. And after 10 sessions, she's now pain-free most days. She's off her medications, and she's doing well. And then perhaps if you had some written feedback from your client, you could quote that as well in terms of your case presentations, to kind of supplement your case presentations. And I think a combination of presenting some brief synopsis of the evidence available for the technique in your context, as well as some case studies, would really help to illustrate what we do as Alexander Technique teachers well, would give the best possible chance of getting referrals from the people you're presenting to.
Right, and I would think that the optimal personal case study would be a student of yours who was a patient of one of those doctors.
Exactly, Robert. Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking about this, and when I was working in Ireland, what I've been encouraging Alexander Technique teachers to do in Ireland is to write a brief letter of any cases they're seeing with your pupil's consent. Write to the GP practices that they're seeing and mm-hmm. update them on your pupils or their patients' progress.
Right.
And if you were able to then, in a few weeks' time, present, then you could present that particular patient or your pupil in that context, provided you have their consent.
Yeah, I would think that would be the very best. But I another question on the point you make that medical professionals in general want to see the evidence, right? They want to see studies like the UK back pain study, of course, would be pretty good because, as you say, it's large scale, randomized, and so on. What are some of the other studies that you might want to bring up if you're talking to doctors?
I think that's going to be specific to the clients that you want to work with. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I need to do more reading myself on all the studies. I understand there's about 100 studies out there on the technique in different contexts. Another one that comes to mind that goes nicely with the BMJ study is a study that was carried out in Bristol in 2012 with chronic pain patients as part of a community chronic pain team. And that had just involved 43 people, but it at the end of the study, it has a lot of really nice quotations from participants in the study. So it has both a quantitative aspect, meaning that it has lots of statistics, but it also has a qualitative aspect, so you get to hear what people actually experienced. But as I said, I guess really I personally need to do more reading of the evidence that is present for the Alexander Technique. But if you work with a particular catchment of patients, then the more studies you have on that area, then the better it would be, even if it was just a brief synopsis of the studies involved.
Right. Well, and there is a UK neck pain study that is fairly new, and that might be a good one as well.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah.
So when I look at all the studies, the studies that I find in a way the most intriguing of all might not be ideal to present to doctors. I'd like your opinion on this. And those are the ones done by a neurologist, neuroscientist who's also an Alexander teacher in London. He's an American who has a whole series of studies on postural tone and the Alexander technique. And I think he's at the University of London. And the what makes these studies fascinating to me is that, unlike virtually all other studies, they are, do not rely on subjective feedback from the people involved. Mm-hmm. They are actual measurements of a real thing, and mm-hmm. that has never really been possible to measure until fairly recently. So to me, those are impressive, but I'm not sure. I'd be interested in your opinion. Do you think those would be useful to bring up as well?
I do, Robert. I think they would be fantastic to supplement, because basically one of the other points that who you're presenting to is going to want to know is what is the Alexander technique and how exactly does it work? So if you have studies that give a sense of how it works, and it, a lot of, I think the studies you're speaking of have some really nice images as well that supplement, that are part the papers, and they would be wonderful to put up, for example, in a slideshow.
Oh, interesting.
Or have a handout.
Yeah, so, because he's using this amazing device to run the studies that is very picturesque, to say the least.
Yes. I think I'm familiar with the one that you're speaking of. And at the Congress as well, at the science panel, there was a wonderful video that showed the biomechanics of what happens. They have two videos up, one with a teacher, an Alexander Technique teacher, and another with someone who has no experience. And you just get to see them sitting and standing, and you see this computer-generated image of the inexperienced person pulling their neck back and down, thrusting their hips forward, mm-hmm. And a video can often paint a thousand words, because you really get to see the mechanics of what's involved, and you know intuitively that Alexander Technique lessons, and that this person is using themselves in a much, much better way by seeing some of these images. So I think in explaining how the technique works, images are, as you mentioned, like specific studies that talk about optimal body tone would be really, really helpful to explain how the technique works. And that's the beauty of a lot of the research and studies that are going into exactly how the technique works.
Right.
It equips us to explain it in a really scientific way.
Right. Well, so apart from sort of scientific studies, what do you think about, you mentioned Laura Podolsky, who is an Alexander teacher who works, I think, more or less full time at the Mayo Clinic. And there are some videos of her talking about her work there, and I believe some other doctors talking about it. Now, those aren't studies, but do you think they would carry much weight with doctors?
Yeah, I think it would be useful to mention that, like, the Alexander Technique is something that is being used in the Mayo Clinic, because the Mayo Clinic is simply a very prestigious and reputable world-renowned clinic, so
right,
I think
right.
there'll be no harm in saying that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting in Laurel's presentation. She mentioned who she gets referrals from, and she really did. She's now getting referrals from such a vast range of fields, from neurology, family medicine, ear, nose, throat, physiotherapy, fibromyalgia, pain clinics, psychiatry, and women's health medicine. And it's so interesting to see how, and it's obvious to us as teachers, we kind of know that the Alexander Technique is helpful for so many things, but it's interesting to see it in the context of medicine, that she's now getting referrals from so many different departments.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that, as an Alexander Technique teacher, if you have colleagues in any of these fields, you don't necessarily need to approach your family physician. If you approach an ear, nose, throat doctor, for example, they're going to have a number of patients on their books who have temporal mandibular joint dysfunction, for example. Or if you know a neurologist, they're probably going to have a few hundred patients with Parkinson's disease who would benefit from the technique. So yeah, it's interesting to know who you can get referrals from as well.
Right. Is there anything else that you, any other bits of advice you'd give to Alexander teachers?
I guess in just some generally speaking, I think outflow determines inflow, and by that I mean, I think we need to, like Alexander himself wrote a lot and corresponded a lot with medical doctors, and I think if we have a certain degree of outflow, if we took a couple of days from our diary every 6 months to try and engage with medical practitioners, I think we probably would find that we're getting more referrals from medical practitioners. Kitty Breen, who is another person who spoke at the Congress, I really enjoyed her take on how she got referrals, and she says that she always has three words in mind when she's approaching medical doctors, and that's to be authentic, to be generous, and to be patient. And I think there's some good tips to end with.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that Alexander himself was intertwined with the medical profession from the very beginning, back in Australia and certainly in England as well, that he made those kind of connections, the same sort of connections you're talking about, himself from the very beginning.
Yeah, he did, and I'm sure he knew that, like, medical professionals are the people he will get a lot of referrals from. And I guess another little side story, 6 months ago or so, I presented as the Alexander technique to the doctors I was working with, about six other doctors. And I told them at the beginning and at the end that I was a student and that I couldn't see patients, but they referred people to me anyways. You know, I think doctors are often so desperate to find solutions for their patients. If they come across something that makes sense,
right,
they will refer. I would be quite confident in from that point of view.
Right, and I've spoken to other doctors and about the technique who've also had some experience with it, and one thing that comes through is that doctors, pain is a really frustrating thing for doctors to deal with. They can go the drug route, which may, you know, take care of some symptoms but not the underlying cause, and also has some serious dangers. They can refer someone to a physical therapist, and maybe that will help and maybe it won't, but they don't really have, the word you use is frustrated, and I think that's what a lot of doctors are with their patients who are in pain.
Yeah, for sure, Robert, and particularly for chronic back pain, it's such a challenging and debilitating condition that right. People often, we like in Ireland at least, we often end up writing certificates for work so that they're no longer able to work. So often these patients are out of work for months, if not years, and sometimes you start off, or doctors start off prescribing analgesics, but mm-hmm. often the pain can affect the patient's mood. You end up prescribing an antidepressant.
Right.
Then you might end up prescribing a sleeping tablet because they can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're still coming back because the cause of their pain, in my opinion, isn't really addressed. The Alexander technique is something that two things we can describe it, and I think they're very true. One is that it does no harm, and secondly is that it's cause oriented. So we're looking at the underlying cause of the pain, and Alexander wrote so extensively and was so passionate about the fact that he felt that it was a person's use that causes so many of their problems in terms of their functioning, and pain being one of the side effects of impaired use, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think that'd be a great note to close on. I should put in a little plug for the other podcasts I've done with doctors. There must be about 10 or 12 of them now. I'll put a link to a page where you can read them all. They range from GPs or primary care physicians such as yourself to pain specialists at universities, neurosurgeons, and the like. And I would imagine, I didn't really ask you this, but I would imagine that for some doctors, listening to those kinds of podcasts might be interesting as well.
I think so, Robert. Yeah, I've listened to them all essentially over the last couple of weeks in preparation for this. But they're such fantastic resources, and doctors like everyone else in the world are becoming more and more tech savvy. So we do listen to podcasts, and when you've interviewed professors and family physicians and pediatricians to such a wide array of professions there, it's a really, really good resource that
right.
that certainly you could point out to people you present, to doctors you present to as well. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this, Brian. My guest today has been Dr. Brian McElroy, who has for the past 8 years been a primary care physician in Ireland, and he's completing his training in England at the Bristol Alexander School to become an Alexander teacher. So I'll put a link to his website by the interview, and I'll put a link to that page that lists other podcasts with Alexander, with medical professionals about the Alexander technique. Thank you so much for being on the show, Brian.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.